Hello, citizens. This is Deadbug. Friend. Lover. Father. Father of many, actually. And some of them are from those godless third world countries. And I gotta support them all. Well, not the ones from the godless third world countries, because, you know, their cords can't touch me. But nevertheless, the other ones, I gotta divvy up some money sometimes. And you can help me. Sign up to my Patreon, where you get hundreds of my podcasts and three times as many of my films. And you won't be disappointed.
No siree, Bob.
And I'll also send you intimate photos when I'm drunk. So what are you waiting for? I'll see yous all over there. God bless each and every one of yous. Well, except for yous from those godless nations, which I won't mention. But your money is still good. Oh, and remember, with each 100th sign up, I'm going to buy one of my kids a pack of smokes and maybe even get them vaccinated. I thank you. Everything in this world dies. Everything fades, and then it dies. And that includes relationships. As I'm sure all of you know, we've all been through a breakup. And breakups are generally nasty. There's never a time where two people say, hey, this ain't working, and let's uncouple. I mean, unless you're Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow. You know what I'm saying? Things can generally end shitty. Case in point, just this past week in Tokyo, Japan, in Yokohama District Court, a judge, probably a Jap judge. You know, it's funny, I gotta say this because I saw this debate on television, and it made me laugh because someone was saying Paki is racist. And I love that word, Paki. It rolls off the tongue so nicely. But someone said, well, you know, you're saying Paki is racist, but people can say a Brit, or they can say Aussie, or they can say Yank. And no one has a problem with short form in those names. You know, like a Jap is just like a short form. But it's true. But anyway, a Jap judge last Friday sentenced Maiya Nishikata, 33 years old, to 17 years in prison for killing her ex-boyfriend, whose body was found in a suitcase next to the Tama River near Tokyo, Japan, on December 30th. 2023. Now, according to the ruling, now this is the, for me, this is the fucked up part. And I always say it, the Japs, they do it better. They do more fucked up than anybody else. They really do. They really do. Because, you know, most families, they bond over board games or, you know, karaoke night, which is big in Japan, and or charades, which I guess is still a board game. You know, family get-togethers, birthday, Christmas, and whatnot. But hey, I'm getting ahead of myself per usual, and I want to get into this crime, but we're going to do the opening first, and then talk about this, what is a brutal crime that just was in the courts in Japan last week. Welcome to another episode of Get to Know the Dead, and I am your host, Deadbug. But thank you. Thank you very much. How's everybody doing? I'm doing okay. Halloween's coming. I'm excited. Halloween always excites me. I got some good Halloween decorations at Walmart that I brought over to England, so I'm excited to. Got one of projectors, you know, project the scary images on the side of your house and whatnot. They don't seem to have those in England because, you know, Halloween ain't so big here. And I'm very excited about that. You know, I love kids. You know, I love them coming up to your door and the little kids in their outfits and whatnot and, you know, just engaging with them. And how are you doing? What are you, my favorite. I always buy too much candy. Everybody always tells me, yo, Dad, Mike, you buy too much. Why do you buy so much candy? And it's true. I got to hold my hands up. I buy too much candy and always have leftovers. And the worst part is I love candy. And it plays havoc with my dental work. Every goddamn year, I I'll tell you what, I lose fillings and whatnot. Especially those caramel candies, you know, those hard toffees. I love those. So, yeah, sure, I buy a lot. But you know what? The worst part is about Halloween is running out of candy. And then you got to, you know, the kids still knock at your door or whatnot. And you got to pretend you're not home. Or hide. You know, or just tell them you don't have any left and see those disappointed faces. So I buy too much. And then, I give it away. I just like it. Because you're buying those containers over here in the UK. They buy these big hard containers. You rip the lid off and there's candy inside, the mixed candies. And I just give it away. You know, just here. Though the last few kids who come, you know, the teenagers. Usually the teenagers are the stragglers. You know, they're the one, as you're tearing down the decorations, they show up at 9, you know, quarter after 9 or something. And I'll just give them a big container. Here we go. Take it, you know. But yeah, I love Halloween, so that's exciting for me. And I'm ready this year. I think I'll start putting the decorations up today. Right after I finish with you guys. But you forget how big Halloween is in the States and Canada. Because I were in Walmart last week. And I'll tell you what, you know, there's whole sections of it that's whole sections that are just Halloween stuff, like Halloween mugs, Halloween adult costumes. You know, you come to England and there's like a tiny section and it's not very impressive. But, you know, I mean, I think I'm the only person on my whole street that celebrates Halloween. I mean, you know, that hands out the candy. I know most kids, because my kids tell me that there's a military, American military base that's a bit of a ways away, and they all go down there because they say the Americans give the best candy, you know, because they all celebrate in full force. Although, you know, there are some, some sparse sightings of people who do the house up. I went to store the other day, and one of the houses really did it up nice already. Putting me to shame, so I got out my game this year. But yeah, Halloween, another week. It's getting exciting. Is it week? No, 31st, so it's what, another week and a half. But still, exciting. So I guess I should welcome some of the new people. There are some new people coming up, you know. I don't post much on YouTube anymore, and that's usually the only way, word of mouth and whatnot, that I get anybody new on Patreon coming. That's the only reason new people come over to Patreon. They find me on YouTube. Because I got to refresh the numbers. I say it all the time. People come and they go. And then some people are returning. You know, for whatever reason. You know, we all got our reasons. You know, whether you're poor or you just had enough of a dead bug. Which I don't know how you would ever get enough of me. But yeah, So I'd like to welcome anybody, any of the newbies, the new Legion members who showed up. And if you're out there and you're listening, please show yourself. Stand and be counted and introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from, what area or whatnot. Because we got a friendly bunch of people over here on Patreon. And, you know, say hello. Now let's get back to this gruesome jab crime that I was talking about at the start. Now, my ear was in a relationship with a boyfriend. She loved this guy. And they were, you know, they were getting balls deep. They couldn't separate the two. Although saying that, I don't know if Japanese guys can get balls deep because I got small penises, but, you know, and I ain't an expert on Japanese penises, but working there for a bit and living there for a while, you go to the gym and, you know, I got eyes. Japanese men, they take off the trousers and the underpants, the underwears, and you just see pubic hair. Maybe sometimes you see a little turtle head sticking out of there, but, you know, that ain't one of their areas that they're gifted, I suppose. But I'm digressing here. Anyways, Maia and her boyfriend, well, they had a very intense relationship, emotionally and physically. And her boyfriend, he ended it. This guy, I guess he had enough. I want to move on. You know, it's like I said at the beginning. Things die, things fade, things end. This is just part of relationships. And it's never usually something that everybody is agreeing on. There's always one side of the two parties that are unhappy. And I suppose Maya was the one who was unhappy when this relationship ended. And she or at least according to the police and the prosecutors, decided to take her heartbreak to a whole new level. Because her family, including her new boyfriend, got together and decided to exterminate the embryonic starting point, if you will, I guess for fancy words or not, of her heartbreak. Ground zero, so to speak. This is the way they figured they're going to deal with her heartbreak. Now, you can only imagine her current boyfriend. Holy fuck, he must have been cockholded. Because that is pretty fucked up.
There's definitely a made-for-TV movie here somewhere. The Brady Bunch meets Breaking Bad.
I would like to do that one. Now, this was an interesting case here because the mother and the daughter turned on each other. Or it appears from the transcripts that I've read that they turned on each other, where the mother was saying that the daughter was the mastermind and that the daughter, the 33-year-old daughter, was saying that her mother was the mastermind to kill the ex-boyfriend. But either way, I mean, you know, and then the father and her brother helped as well. They were all in on it. Yeah, fuck, and you know, and the ex-boyfriend, which is fucked up. This is weird. Like I said, when I was saying about these zipper heads, they do it differently. Yeah, sure, they might be polite and placid, but when they turn, brother. But either way, she went over. I guess she phoned the ex-boyfriend and said, hey, you know, why don't I come over? We can see each other. And I guess he, you know, this guy figured the ex-boyfriend, which is Tadayuki Hara, and he's 46 years old. He's a suit. He works in some insurance company. And you know what they say about guys who work in insurance. Well, I don't know, but I thought you might know. Well, she called him. This 33-year-old, his ex-girlfriend, called him. And I guess she said, hey, man, why don't I come over? You know, and who knows what the conversation was. You know, she said, hey, why don't I come over? You know how guys are. It's really weird. This is my expert opinion on women. You know, you could be in a passionate relationship with a woman. And this is the difference between men and women. And this difference spreads all over the world. Probably even to Muslims and whatnot.
Allahu Akbar!
You can be passionately in love with a woman. And then you break up. You go your separate ways. And it could be an intense relationship. We've all been in these intense relationships. You can be in this intense relationship and then you break up for whatever reason. It's just too intense. One person says enough of this shit. One person cheats on another. These affairs, whatever. This intense relationship where the woman will say she's ready to die for you. She will die without your love. She can't breathe without your love. You can phone that woman up a year later and say, hey, you know, how's it going? I've been thinking about you. Maybe we should get together and, you know, have a drink or whatnot. And the woman will say, who's this? You know, it's me, Debbuck. Remember we had that, you know, we lived together for 3 years. We had that intense, I was fucking you in bathrooms and whatnot. And, you know, in public parks. It was so intense. Oh, now I remember. How are you? No, I can't meet up with you. I've got a boyfriend. You know, I'm engaged now or whatever. That's women. They're intense. They'll die for you. You contact them a year later and they can hardly remember you. And that's been my experience throughout the years with friends I know as well. And we always laugh about it. But, you know, a woman can call a guy up fucking 10 years later. And which I don't think happens too much. But if she did, if a woman called a guy up, you know, 9 or 10 years later and said, hey, it's me, Stephanie. And instantly the guy will say, hey, how are you, Steph? Yeah, how are you? Yeah, I'm just looking at your Instagram now. You're looking good. And she'll say, hey, I was thinking we'd get together for a drink. I swear to God, every guy I know will say, hey, all right. Even if they're married. Yeah, sure. Let's get together. You know, and then you're spraying your cologne on your balls and you're taking out your best Gap shirt and jacket and you're fucking out there. You go, all right, tonight's the night. And that's a fundamental difference. So this is what happened. This woman, they broke up, and this couple in Japan, they broke up.
this 33-year-old and the 46-year-old insurance salesman, they broke up, and she called him up, and, you know, why don't I come over? And this guy, he was up for it. He's like, yeah, sure, come on over. So she shows up. She's looking good. She probably got her pussy waxed and her nails done and whatnot. And while he were in the bathroom, I guess, spraying cologne on his balls, probably, she laced his drink with sleeping pills. And so then they went, they're sitting on the couch, and he passed out. And then she went and she buzzed up. She let the others, her mother, her father, her ex-boyfriend, and her brother all came up while he were passed out, and they strangled him to death. We don't know which one did what. And apparently there was some bruising on his face, so maybe she took an opportunity to give him a kicking or whatever. Laugh at his penis size. I don't know. We don't know the details of what happened. And some would say it's very unprofessional of me to hypothesize. And maybe we'll never ever be able to say for sure the events have proceeded in this poor bastard's apartment. But when they came up, and then they went, and they strangled him, and then they put this guy in his own suitcase, and then they went and dropped him in the river. In the Tama River. In Kawasaki, which is just outside of Tokyo, for those of you who are ignorant. And then I guess he washed up on shore, and that's where he was found. Like fucking 2 weeks later, which, whoo! What's that smell? Fuck. I can only imagine, I'm one of those people, if I found a suitcase outside of a fucking river, I would not go open it up. But I guess there are other people that are naturally curiosity, or they're naturally scrounges, or they're opportunists and whatnot. But for me, you know, you're in a forest, I wouldn't open a suitcase anyway. It's just a suitcase in the middle of a forest or on the bank of a river, it can only lead to no good. So it didn't take too long. You know, the security footage and whatnot of the building, and, you know, I mean, I don't know why people, especially in Japan. I mean, people think that they can get away with things. It seems like no one can get away with anything these days unless you're just lucky. And believe me, I ain't lucky. So apparently they're saying the mother, the 53-year-old mother, Maiho, is the mastermind. But her defense lawyers were saying that the daughter is the mastermind. Well, her defenses are saying that she could not resist her mother's domineering power over her and the rest of the family. I mean, anybody who goes to Asia and stuff like that, they'll know that once they get older, the fucking women rule. The women are fucking bitches. You just gotta put up with it. It's like, holy fuck, I'll do whatever you want, honey. Just shut the fuck up. You want me to kill a guy? Sure, I'll do it. Just shut the fuck up and let me have peace. Because, you know, men, they just wanna fucking watch the football or whatever. You know, whatever jabs watch, sumo wrestling. And women, they drive nuts, so you just fucking do it. So, but apparently, the judge, probably a Jap judge, when he addressed the courtroom, he said this was a disgusting, heinous crime. And the first thing that he did was he gave the girl's father, an elderly man, 13 years. And then he gave her boyfriend 13 years, which seems fair. And then he gave the girl's brother 15 years, which, I mean, seems a bit harsh, but I don't know, we don't know the whole case. We don't know what happened. Maybe he were enjoying it more. Or who knows? Maybe he sassed off during the proceedings or smirked or something when the judge was speaking. Yeah, but they were all just sort of turning on each other. Like they were all saying, oh, he did it. Which makes it very difficult, I guess, for a judge. But I guess the judge figured they were all in on it. But the judge didn't buy the mother. He figured the daughter was the bitch. Now, I saw a picture of the daughter. I mean, she's kind of tasty, you know. But I guess all beautiful women, you know, it ends badly. So I just think, fuck, this poor guy. I feel sorry for this insurance salesman guy, because I don't know what he did to lead up to this. Because, I mean, guys are guys, aren't we? We do what we do. And maybe he thought, hey, fuck, she's coming over. I'll spray some cologne on my balls. You know, use a bit of hair gel. And I'm going to be fucking in. And he ended up paying for it for his life right before Christmas, too. Fuck. You feel sorry for the poor guy. But I guess, you know, that's life, isn't it? Relationships, but interesting. But it, like I said, showcases to me how Japs do it. They just do it differently. A whole family get... Could you imagine the whole fucking family just getting around and this guy's passed out and they're all, like, taking turns strangling him?
Fuck, I would love to see that. The CCTV footage of that. Like, at what point the four fucking people, I just think only in Japan, well, not even four people, it's five, isn't it? It's the mother, the father, the daughter, the boyfriend, and the brother, all in the fucking apartment together, strangling this guy? You'd think that one person would say, hey, you know, I'm not sure about this. I'm going to go grab a coffee and let you guys do it. I'm not sure. And then I will fucking run to a payphone or something and rat him out.
We're sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this
but
time.
But it's like, what point? You just wonder. This collective, you know, and I guess Japan is a kind of, it's a collective, isn't it, where people all sort of do things in one, as one. Fucking weird that everybody's involved. And this guy hasn't even done anything except for Dumper. Weird. But again, the general consensus with the public as well as the judge was that it was the daughter, she was the mastermind. With the judge saying even though the mother had a very domineering effect on her daughter's upbringing, meaning she was a fucking bully and a bitch probably, but it was still the daughter who said, hey, I got a good idea. But almost in contradictory to what the judge said, he later said he felt it was a master-servant relationship between the mother and the daughter. Isn't that weird? Master-servant relationship. That's very Japanese. Very master. And that same relationship with the dad. Meaning he was cuckold. She bullied him. She was a bitch. A classic tale of a man being pussy-whipped, if I may be so bold to discuss such topics in mixed company. But for me, that's one of those things that fascinates me about Japan. And after working there for a number of years, is that coldness. That clinical coldness and indifference to things that the people, I mean, it's especially being a boss, you know, I go there, you know, you're directing, you got a large crew of people that are Japanese, and usually you got all the time I got a translator, and you tell them to do something, and if there's anything out of the norm, something that deviates from the normal A to B to C to D, like almost like a robot blinking, like does not compute, like they're just so cold and by the book. Methodical, one may say. So when you got something out of the norm like a murder, well, it short-circuits that clinical wiring of theirs, which is why I find them so fascinating. I mean, even the way they approach murder. I was reading another story, and it just sort of shows the 15-year-old, and this, again, were in Tokyo, just outside of Tokyo, in a place called Chiba. And this 15-year-old, a junior high school student, he murdered an 84-year-old grandma. A fucking woman. Which I guess me saying a grandma automatically means it's a woman. But then again, these days, who fucking knows? I mean, in all seriousness, this is a family show and I gotta remain inclusive. He just fucking gutted her like a fish in public. This 15-year-old fucking carved up this old lady who was identified as Yayoi Takahashi. And this just happened in May of this year. Carved up like a Jap turkey. And when the cops caught the kid just wandering around the streets and asked him, like they were shot, they asked him, what the fuck you do? And he just said he wanted to see what it was like. And this was a kid from a good family. They had money. And when investigators asked how this kid targeted her, was it premeditated? Did he follow her? And he just said no. He just chose her because he saw her. He thought she was weak. And it would be easy. And he wanted to get himself booked into one of those juvenile detention centers. Because his parents were very strict at home and he had a lot of rules to follow. And, you know, I've said it before, these Jap juvenile delinquent places are very lax. You know, they got PlayStation, swimming pools, they got everything. And apparently this kid, he were a behavioral problem in school. And, you know, he got a lot of detentions and whatnot, but he were extremely clever. Which I figure most Japs are. But he went and he stabbed this old broad, 84-year-old grandma, in the back of the head. And then he fucking brought the knife right fucking down. And he fucking pulled out her spine. He was like fucking taking a look at it. Like gutted her. Like a fish. No exaggeration. And then only a minute after this happened, the couple who were out on their first date saw this old broad flipping around, bleeding out on the pavement. Just minutes after the crime. With her spine hanging out. I'm thinking, holy fuck, that is a brutal crime. And this kid got his wishes. And he can't be identified, and he got checked into one of these fancy-smancy juvenile places with hot and cold running PlayStations, probably the latest, probably the best games as well, probably Blu-ray DVDs, good movies as well, not those ones you get in the library. So that, you know, he was charged with murder and violating the firearms and swords control law. So, So I don't know swords. Did he use a sword? It don't say. But for me, this is just, it's a spine. It's the fact that he pulled the spine out like he forgotten it, and then he, like, pulled it out. I'm visualizing it right now. And if I were Jack Luna, I would be imagining the smell. I'd be talking about that, too. But I'm just, I'm a little more sensitive to that. I don't want to imagine the smell. Even the sight of it makes me fucking sick. And not surprising. I mean, the autopsy reported that there were no defensive wounds, and it appeared that this kid were trying to remove a spine. Which, like I said, I don't know what he were using. I mean, he got charged under the Sword Weapons Act, so maybe he had a fucking sword, like the samurais or something. And security footage apparently showed this kid walking around at the scene of the crime, checking out his handiwork, just watching her. And watching the couple out on their first date when they found her. And then the police arrived, and I suppose that's how they ended up collaring the kid. You know, and because this kid's juvenile, I mean, he'll be fucking out in no time. Out in fucking no time. That's the scary part. Maybe it's this TikTok generation. You know, it's a TikTok. I mean, those Japs are a cold fucking bunch as well, you know. You know, and then, like I said, the suspect, when they caught up with him, he admitted to killing. He made, you know, the remarks he made. He said he just wanted to kill someone. Didn't matter who it was. And he targeted this old broad because she was weak. And he wanted to get in one of those juvenile detention homes, and now he's there. Riding a sushi wagon with fishtail wheels. A fucking zip head. I mean, I had it rough as a kid, but I didn't want to cut out some old broad spine for no reason that I didn't even know. Except for maybe my grade 7 teacher, Miss Pluishkis. You know, this woman was fucking weird. She was about 100 years old, but she had, like, these big firm breasts, because she'd obviously had a tit job. And then you get old and everything else fucking falls by the wayside and sags, but then the breasts are still standing up. This fucking friend... Sean Moon. No one called him that. They called him Mooney, but he used to fucking jerk off. Go into the bathroom, he'd tell me, and he'd look at the tits, and then he'd go into the bathroom and jerk off over her. Because her tits were so good. And I was like, she's a fucking 100 years old. She's a corpse. But that didn't matter to Mooney. He had some sort of sickness, like something wrong with the... Because he once got off with Brian Brissenden's dog as well. Had a dog named Sandy. That's a whole different podcast. And we took acid and we woke up with a shitty dick. I don't want to get into it because this is a family show, but he had something weird with him. But yeah, he used to like Miss Pluishkis. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But that's fucking Japan. And fucking brutal. And there was another case that I was reading again this year. Because I still get the Japanese papers. You know, the online papers, and you know, and you know, I like to keep up on events. I mean, I haven't lived there now for about 10 years, but there's another case where an old woman just turned herself into the police, and she had said that she had kept her daughter. She said she has something in a fridge and a freezer, and they went over, and it was her daughter. So this is also in Tokyo. Tokyo's a fucking hotspot, obviously, for this sort of shit. But this 75-year-old woman, Kakiko Mori, just walked in. And it's just happened, like in September 2025. She just walked into a police station with a relative. I think it was her sister. And she confessed that she'd been keeping her daughter in a freezer, her daughter's body. And when, so Jap cops, they didn't even fucking believe this. Just thought she was fucking nuts. But they still had to check it out. So they went with this old Jap broad and her sister over to the place, and they opened up the fridge freezer. And there were her daughter, this 33-year-old, frozen like a fucking Jap popsicle in her underwears and in a slinky little t-shirt. A sexy little number, I guess. And I saw a picture of her. She was sexy. I mean, you know, she were alive when the picture was taken. And she was kneeled down when they found the body in this t-shirt and underwear, face down. Which is kind of sexy, too. I mean, not the fact that she's dead, but the fact she's in her underwears and a t-shirt. I'm visualizing it now. But unlike Jack Luna, I can't smell it. I'm not imagining the smell. But so yeah, so this she's in the freezer, and this freezer ain't big, so she's in her underwears and she's bending down, and the cop said the body's was in a state of advanced decomposition. That's advanced. So that's a fucking smelly corpse that fucking is starting to look part skeletal. And they believe it had been 20 years since her death. So she would have been about 33 when she expired, and if she lived, she'd now be about 49 or 50 Japanese years old. So you take the 20 years after the 49 or 50, I mean, you get the idea. I don't mean to be telling you your mathematics, but then she's a lot younger, a lot tastier, because that's what I said, because she were in her underwear. I wouldn't find it tasty if she were 50 years old in her fucking underwear. For me, that's nightmare fodder. But yeah, so, you know, so this bride were like 30 years old. She was still in the realm of acceptability for tastiness. And she were there, just fucking bent over. And the cops looked at her, and they did an autopsy. So they asked this bride, like, why did she fucking turn herself in? And she said, because she starts smell. Like, I guess even the freezer weren't containing the smell. She said the smell was filling the house. That's my Japanese impersonation. I mean, what do you want? I gave it my best shot. So, you know, I guess she fucking, you know, I guess the freezer won't contain in the smell. That's the point. But then apparently she said that she didn't put it in the freezer right away. She bought the freezer because the data were rotten. And I guess the smell were getting bad. Probably smelling flies as well. And then she put it in. Now, they did an autopsy, and by what they figured out, even though the mom ain't squawking, she's not saying anything, because apparently the father had died a short time after the daughter had expired. I guess in natural causes. But they said that the daughter, after the autopsy, that she'd been strangled, and she had the bruising on her face and trauma to her skull. Blunt trauma, which I'm guessing is the worst kind of trauma. Now, this gets you fucking wondering here. What the fuck? Were there some sort of daughter-dad action? Maybe the daughter and the dad were having, a bit of a thing. He were getting balls deep in his daughter. And maybe he wanted to end it. Or maybe she were going to tell. Or maybe the mom found out. You never fucking know on these sort of things.
I mean, the dad, he must have been in on it if he'd only died a short time afterwards. I mean, he would have known about the body, been aware.
But the mom ain't squawking, so you gotta use your imagination here to wonder what was going on here. But this is fucked up. So she didn't die natural. This isn't one of those things, you know, my daughter died and I could not bear to let her go. It's not one of those things. She was murdered. Strangled and some blunt force trauma to the head. Now, I don't know if they've checked around for any sexual violation or whatnot. You know, if that sort of thing you can tell. But, I mean, she were in the freezer. So, I mean, I guess, you know, like a bag of peas or you know, some pork chops or whatever, she would still be fresh of the moment that she put her in there. You know,
it's like frozen orange juice. They squeeze it and they freeze it. Although she did say they hadn't put the corpse in the freezer right away. I mean, well, she didn't say they.
She said she had not put her in the freezer at first, and then the stink and the flies and whatnot, then they put her in the freezer. Fucking weird. I mean, she never said who put who in the freezer, but the dad were alive back then. Like her husband. And the fact she wearing a t-shirt and underwear is very sexual. And kneeling, face down.
Jesus, I got a bit of a boner.
But yeah, so I mean, this hasn't gone to trial yet, but I mean, apparently the mom ain't squawking. She's not saying anything. But they say it was an unnatural death. It'd be interesting to know if the sexual findings here, the autopsy, you know, with the dad getting balls deep. I mean, I'm wondering if they could link the dad's jizz to the daughter. I mean, there's no way the dad were getting balls deep in his fucking wife. You know, she was like 80-something years old. That's I don't even want to imagine it.
Sorry, I just got some horrific images in my head. There's something. There's more to that. I'll keep you updated. I'm following the... It hasn't gone to trial yet. But, you know, Japanese are very tight-lipped, you know, and dignified that way. I mean, they're not big on telling the... It would be a great shame if her husband were nailing the daughter if they were having an affair. So it wouldn't be something she'd want to be talking about. And she's like 75 years old. I mean, she don't have much left on the planet anyway. So, I mean, well, it's not like she's going to be doing a hard time, is it? They should put her in the cell with the 15-year-old who likes killing old people and taking the spines out. They'd be a good match. That'd be perfect for the 15-year-old Jap kid. Have to share a cell with a 75-year-old lady. Imagine the smell of that. Oh, can't even imagine. But, I mean, I think this all highlights the brutality, the cold brutality of Japan. I mean, this, the daughter, I mean, she would have been murdered in like 2005. And she, the fucking old broad, I mean, just in a freezer. Your own kid, you gave birth to this kid. You know? And the Jap cops, they said when they went in there, that were all deodorizers were hung everywhere, like that movie Seven. They didn't say refer to the movie Seven, but that's what they saw. That the deodorizers were hung everywhere. I mean, I can only imagine the fucking smell. I mean, Japs, they're fucking cooking already smells bad. But imagine throwing a body into the mix. Weird. And the husband had died shortly afterwards, so I mean, this, there weren't a lot of visitors in this stinky house. And, but fucking, something's fucked up. There's more to this story. I'll keep you updated. I mean, maybe we'll never know. And there's something about Japan and freezers, because a couple of cases come to mind, and I'm just spitballing here, because I'd have to look back to remember, but I remember in like a 2021, there were a daughter, what was her name? Yumi Yoshino, I think, and she was arrested by authorities, and this was in 2000, like I said, 21, I don't know, I can't remember where it was, maybe just outside of Tokyo, but she was arrested for putting her mother's body in a freezer, and she kept her mother on ice for 10 years, 10 fucking years. And she had done it because she didn't want to get evicted because her mother's name was on the lease. Her mom, you know, like was on the lease and it was her mother's savings that were paying, you know, the rent and whatnot. And she didn't want to get evicted, but eventually the money her mother, and this happens a lot, I think, over in the world where someone dies and people keep the appearance that this person's still alive because money's involved. Like, you know, they're getting their retirement money or whatever. And she kept her mom on ice, her mother's death hidden for 10 years. She kept in a freezer because, like I said, she didn't want to get evicted. But then eventually the money ran out and she was evicted. And she just fucking left. And she didn't even take the fucking body. I mean, I guess she couldn't. But she just left the body in the freezer. And the cops found her living in some hotel, this broad. And, you know, she came clean. She says, yeah, yeah. She was told the whole thing. And... because she didn't want to lose her place. And, you know, they checked the body and it appeared it were natural causes. There were no sign of violence or obvious wounds. You know, and it just... And there were another case where a woman... a 57-year-old woman had been found. And, again, three people were arrested due to disrespect of the corpse. And they just put her in a freezer for some reason. I don't know. Maybe they couldn't afford the burial. But whatever. But you know, they stuck this 57-year-old woman. The family members put her in a freezer, and that were only in 2025 as well. I should do like a whole special on fuck. And I mean, there's even another case. I'm talking about all these cases, but they're coming to mind as I'm talking about it. Well, a 50-year-old man, again in Japan. He put his 86-year-old, and this was very, like the movie Psycho, put his 86-year-old mother, he was living with her, which is the ultimate sign of a loser. He put her in a freezer, but her remains were mummified. So he only put her in afterwards. Like, she'd been dead long enough where she'd mummified. Because I don't think you can be mummified in the fridge. I mean, I think if you're in a freezer, you're, like, freeze-dried, aren't you? Like, your vegetables or whatnot. You know, the moment they picked, they kept fresh. Squeeze it and freeze it, as they say. But he was arrested for keeping his mom. But then he would turned out that, he had emotional and psychological problems. Like, he would just fuck on a mental case, basically. But yeah, I should the whole joint on fucking Japs to keep the victims on ice and whatnot. But again, very Japanese thing, dealing with death and all of this shit. Fucking weird. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, that I don't post much on YouTube anymore because, I mean, they shadow ban me and it's just, I gave up on it for various reasons. You know, because I were only getting very low views on everything. But I still post occasionally. But it's funny, I still go over there and show love to people who make kind comments and whatnot. And do you ever notice that everyone on... I mean, of course you've noticed. Everyone online's a fucking expert now. You post one thing, you know, a film or a podcast, and suddenly every basement philosopher and keyboard detective in the country... crawls out of their fucking pajama bottoms to tell you that you're wrong. Your facts are wrong. Everything you've done is wrong. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. You've wasted everyone's time. And it gets caught in my spam filter. But I still go clean it out and take a look at the comments that got caught in the filter. And one of these comments was under my documentary for Ian Huntley and Myra Hindley, the Moors murders, you know, that infamous crime in the Moors where they killed all those children, had sex with them and whatnot, and made audio tapes. They're very sick. And this one person, it's just, I just don't fucking get the mentality. This person, he goes on and... He breaks down everything I've said. All my facts are wrong. He goes on and he said, and then tells me I've wasted, I shouldn't have made the video. And I wish I'd kept it, because it's just like, and you want to respond to these people, because but you almost feel that if you do respond, you've given them that attention that they so desire in life. Because if you're such a fucking expert, why don't you make your own fucking documentary? Because there are people with limited talent, like, say, a fucking, some of these podcasters out there, you know, that are on YouTube, and they're millionaires. They're fucking millionaires. And they don't have a lot of talent. If you're such a fucking expert, go fucking do it yourself. But yet you come, you watch my video just to tell me all the things that I've done wrong. So listen, buddy, the only thing you're an expert at is reheating pizza and disappointing your parents. You know? Everyone's a critic on Reddit. Everyone's a forensic fucking genius on TikTok. But when you hand them a camera and a mic, or even a sentence to write, they're like a fucking deer in headlights. Because doing something, actually doing it, takes guts, it takes skill, it takes the time. Well, don't even take the skill. Because like I said, there's someone like Mr. Ballin, you know, and more power to him. He's a fucking millionaire. And the only thing he invested in were a mic and a camera and, you know. But yeah, these things take balls to do. So fucking do it. You know what I mean? All these things that you know, buddies, fucking the experts, go fucking do it. Because, you know, I've often said that when I get the information, I take it from alternative sources. I don't look at it wiki. And it's funny because I was talking to Shaggy, Too Dope, and he was fucking telling me about how everything about him online is wrong. Especially Wikipedia. It's all fucking wrong. And that's what I found on everything. The amount of things wrong about me that I've found TV credits or whatever that are wrong online is fucking insane. But people, for some reason, they think if they saw it on Wiki, it's right. I take my facts from different sources, from police sources, from contacts, from whatever. But if you don't fucking like it, just fucking go somewhere else. You know, because I've been doing this for 20 years, real crime documentaries, broadcast television, you know, actual work, deadlines, budgets. For people who sign checks and expect something good in return. So don't fucking leave a comment telling me I shouldn't have done it, I'm wrong, and then rail off why you think it's right. If you're a fucking expert, go fucking do it yourself. Yeah, but I guess that's the world we live in. Social media has turned everyone into a self-certified fucking genius. You got people who never left their hometown telling you how to make international television. You got guys who live with their moms giving advice on how to build an audience. Bro, you can't even fucking build a sandwich without your mom helping you and yelling at you to clean up the mess. So fucking tell me how to fucking make a fucking documentary. And if you don't like it, fucking move on. But anyhows, that's all I got to say on this episode. Until the next episode, I'll see you guys all next time. And adios.
We'll be right back. Love is a trick of the night. Love is a trick of the night.